And God bless you, Sister Young. Let's remember her request. Sister Young's a good church member. Doesn't it just amaze you how quickly the Lord can show up? Sure does me. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Roark. Good to see you. And let's be prayerful for Brother Roark as well. We're blessed with the talent that we have in the church here. And, of course, Brother Joey being among them. And we're going to give way to him now to come and share a song with us. So you pray for him.
Living here is too. But if they say that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home. I'd go home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through. I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise. If you look, you'd see that homesick feeling in my eyes. I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. Someday I'll be sleeping when death knocks on my door. Then I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore, 'cause I'll be home. Yes, I'll be home where I belong.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Collins. It's the Lord's service. Amen. Bless you, Brother Jones. Appreciate that. Anybody have a further word on their heart? If not, I would like to call your attention to some scripture found in the 7th chapter of Exodus. The Lord burdened my heart with this message today to bring here to Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. I'd like to talk primarily to the church here today. I would love to see, and I would love to think that what we have felt here in our hearts this morning will always be here. But there are some things that are required of us if that's going to be the case, isn't there? I think we need to always remember that as God's children, you know, those of us who are saved we're always going to be saved. When the Lord saved us, He saved us eternally. You know, if you ask me, the doctrine that we uphold, the eternal security of the believer, is one of the easiest doctrines there is to prove from the Scriptures. I mean, there are just so many Scriptures that support the fact that we are eternally saved. But when we think about the church, the promise that you and I have as individuals, as God's children, that once we're saved, we're going to be in heaven and we're always going to be saved. But what we have here as a church, we don't have that type of guarantee about the church, do we? We don't have that type of guarantee that our church will always be here. There are things that we must do in order to maintain it. There are things that we must do as a church in order to keep God happy enough that He would be pleased to dwell among us. Now, we know from the teachings of the Scriptures, if you read there in the first two or three chapters of the Revelation, we know that from what happened among the seven churches of Asia there, that there were things that they did that displeased the Lord to the point that He said, you're going to have to correct this or I'm leaving. And I know that nobody here would ever want to see that happen. At least I would certainly hope that nobody here would ever want to see that happen. So I want to read these verses here from Exodus chapter 7. And I want to begin reading with verse 8. Exodus chapter 7, beginning with verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. I'm going to stop reading there with verse 13. The message that I want to bring before you today, I want to use this for a title, Counterfeits and Lookalikes. That's what I want you to think about today as I try to preach the things that God has given me today. Counterfeits and lookalikes. When Moses, and you go back and read in the fourth chapter of Exodus, when Moses stood before the Lord there and God spoke to him out of the burning bush and revealed His will unto him and told him that He was going to send him there to the Pharaoh to command him to let the Israelites go, that they might come out of Egypt and that they might come out there into the wilderness and worship God, Moses was afraid that when he got down there before the Pharaoh that he wasn't going to believe that he was sent from God. He was concerned and worried about that, and he made that known to God. And we find there in the fourth chapter of Exodus, it talking about that. And the Lord said to Moses, He said, well, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, well, it's a rod. And God said, well, cast it down to the ground. And And Moses did that, and it turned into a serpent. And when it turned into a serpent, Moses ran from it. He was a smart man. He ran from that serpent. And God said, reach forth and get it by the tail. And he did, and when he picked it up, it became a rod again. And God gave that to Moses and to Aaron as an evident token when they got into Egypt that he was with them. That's what that was all about. God wasn't trying to impress anybody. He gave that as an evident token that when they went before the Pharaoh and said, let these people go, that would be proof that he was in fact with them, that his power was with them. And so we have read here in this seventh chapter how that they went in there before the Pharaoh, and that's exactly what they did. They cast down the rod. Aaron cast the rod down, and it became a serpent. But you see, Pharaoh's magicians came in, and they provided a counterfeit. They came in through their sorcery and through their magic, and they threw their rods down, and they became serpents also. Now, I'll tell you what I believe about this. I believe that when the magicians threw their rods down and they turned into serpents, that they looked just like the serpent that Aaron had thrown his rod down and it turned into. They made something through their magic that looked just the same. If you go on and you read in the rest of this chapter and on into the eighth chapter, you will find that this was not the only time when God began to make his power known. This was not the only time that the magicians there in Egypt duplicated what God was doing there. They did the same thing, the Bible says, when Moses and Aaron turned the water into blood. It says that these magicians, likewise with their enchantments, did the same thing. They did the same thing when God brought the plague of frogs upon Egypt. The magicians also did the same thing, and they brought the frogs. But I want you to notice something, and you can go into the eighth chapter and you can read about this, that when they did that, when the magicians also brought frogs upon the land, you'll find the Pharaoh going to Moses and asking Moses to take the frogs away. You see, they were able through their magic to bring the frogs upon the land like that and try to show that they had the same power, but obviously they couldn't get rid of the frogs that God had brought upon them by his power. And I wanted to make that point in saying this as I begin to talk about this, and I want to talk today about what the Bible tells us about false prophets, false preachers, false teachers. But there's one thing about them, and I want you to keep this in mind from the very onset of the message here, that sooner or later, somewhere along the way, they always show their true colors. They always become exposed one way or another. And so these men, even though the things that they were able to do through their magic and through their enchantments, we see that God prevailed in that, as what I've already said about the frogs, we see that God prevailed, and even though they did throw their rods down and they became serpents, God prevailed in showing a way that it was Moses and Aaron that he was truly with. And that was that the serpent there that came from Aaron's rod swallowed up the ones that came from Pharaoh's magicians, and God showed his supremacy in that over what they were able to do. There have been many people in many different ways throughout the years that have tried to challenge the power of God. And I'll tell you what, you can't match the Lord. You just cannot match the power of God. And I believe today, just as he did in this day, I believe today that God has a way of showing, God has a way of making known who his people really are. The evident token that you and I have today, we have seen it made manifest here. We've seen it made known this morning. I'll tell you what, the evident token of God's people is the Spirit of God is among them, and you won't find that among the counterfeits. If you don't believe that's true, you just talk to people that have been among them and they'll tell you that it's true. I've been with people before, especially when I was out doing mission work and searching for the truth, being in a certain area and searching for the truth. I have said among people before that they would get hymn books and they would sing songs and they would have a man get up and give a speech from the Bible. I mean, they would go through the motions, and friends, listen, it didn't seem like that the Lord was anywhere around them. But he is with his people. You know, we may not think about it as much, but there is still sorcery in the world today. There are still evil powers at work in the world today. Paul, in his day, told the church there at Ephesus that we wrestle against them. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We fight the battle against spiritual evil powers, and they still exist among us today. Don't ever think that sorcery and witchcraft is gone, because it's not. It's still among us today. The devil still has his evil workers. They're out there every day. They are in force. They're busy. And they are trying as hard as they can to look like the original. That's how the devil infiltrates. That's what the magicians tried to do here. They tried to show that they could do the same thing that Moses and Aaron were able to do. Now, Jesus, you know, there are many, many places in the Bible where you and I have been warned. God has warned us to beware of false prophets. He has warned us to beware of false teachings. He has warned us in his word that we are not to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. That we are not to be enticed through the wisdom of men, but that we are to stick with God, and that we are to beware of these other things. You know, there are a lot of, and lest we ever forget this, let's always remember, friends, that there are a lot of things that are threatening the Lord's church. I mean, there are things around us that are very evil and very dangerous, and we need to be the spiritual watchmen that God would have us to be. We were warned, as I said, many places in the scriptures that there are things that we are to be aware of. And they're in the religious realm around us today, and there have been for many years. There are many people that think that there should be no kind of separation, there should be no kind of division among people that they call believers. That if, you know, if you're a believer, if I'm a believer, as long as we are believers in Christ, there should be no kind of separation among us. There should be no kind of division among us. But you know, the problem is that with so many of them, they don't really know what it means to be a true believer in the first place. But I know this, that the Bible teaches me, we find it recorded in the book of Amos, that Amos asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, there may be people today all around us as I said, within the society or the realm of religion that think that you and I ought to just throw away everything and fellowship with them. But God help us if we ever do. The Lord, I believe He set up one church. One church, one true church. There are many local bodies and have been many local bodies throughout the year, but in practice and in order, the Lord has made one church. I'm convinced today, and I'll get back to what the Lord said here in a moment, but I'm convinced today, and I know that you are aware of this as well as I am, I'm convinced today that there are men, you see them on television, you see them in other places. I'm convinced that there are men today that are, they're not ministers of God, they're ministers of the devil. Amen. Now, you know, listen, people don't like to hear that. I mean, in the world we live in today, people don't like to hear that. There's people, people in religion today, in many ways, you know, pardon me for lack of a better word, have become wimps. That's what many of them have become, wimpy, weak. You know, you shouldn't say anything against my religion. You know, it's not right, you know, for you to do that. But let me tell you, I know what Jesus told us. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Don't get taken in by them. And I promise you today that they're not always real obvious. There are men today, what I began to say a moment ago, and I want to finish that. There are men today that can stand up, and you know as well as I do, no doubt you've seen them. They have TV programs and everything else, and they can stand, and they can open the Bible, and they can begin to speak, and you would have a very difficult time detecting anything that they say in making a difference from what you may hear me say, or Brother Buddy say, or Brother Ryan, or one of the other preachers here. I mean, listen, the devil is a master at making counterfeits. When we think of a counterfeit, we think mostly of money, don't we? I mean, we've heard all of our life about counterfeit money. Somebody that's bad at it, that would try to make it, that would be bad at it, you wouldn't have any problem taking a bill that they'd made and say, well, this isn't right. But you know, what's dangerous about it is when they make it look so close to the real thing that only somebody that really knows what to look for can detect the difference. Some have been very good at it. Some have been very good at making counterfeit money like that. And and spreading it around, and some people have been fooled by it. But the person that really knows what to look for can detect the difference, because, listen, remember this, there's one thing about a counterfeit, and that is that always, you know, the counterfeits and the lookalikes, that always upon close enough examination, they have a flaw in them somewhere that is detectable. That's what happened here in Egypt. What they did just wasn't powerful enough. What they did here just wasn't, it bore a resemblance, but it wasn't attended by the power of God. And therefore, what these magicians were doing were counterfeits. Here's what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Jesus said, you shall know them. Now remember that. You may have the question in your mind already. Well, preacher, these things that you're talking about, these things that you're telling us, if you're telling us that they can look so much like us, then how are we going to know? How are we going to detect them? But Jesus said, beware of false prophets. They come to you looking like one of the sheep, but inwardly they are not a sheep, they are a wolf. And Jesus said, you shall know them. How did he say that we would know them? He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. If I understand right what Jesus was trying to tell us here, that these thorns, these thistles, these trees or these bushes or whatever they are, they may look beautiful. They may be pleasant to the eye. They may be something appealing and something pretty to look at. But the question is, do they bear any fruit? Did not Jesus say that we would know them by their fruit? You know, I tried to think about this literally. I tried to think about a wolf. You know, wolves are mean. They're carnivorous, always looking for something to eat. I tried to think of it from a literal wolf. You know, if you took a sheepskin and you put it over a wolf, and he walked around in that, you know, you may look at it from a distance or something. He may be covered up well enough that you may look at that and you may think, well, there goes a sheep. But let me tell you something. Inwardly and his nature, by his nature, he's still a wolf. You cannot turn a wolf into a sheep. By his nature, he is still a wolf, and somewhere along the way, he's going to show his teeth. Amen. Somewhere along the way, his nature is going to come out. I almost got tickled in reading in Robert Semple's History of the Virginia Baptist, that years ago in the early days of Virginia, when the Baptists were being so persecuted by the Episcopalians there, and some of the Episcopalians had come to some of those Baptist preachers, and I mean those Baptist preachers, they were being beaten. You know, they were being told they were not to preach unless they had been licensed and given permission by the Church of England to do so. And they were being beaten and they were being arrested and they were being severely persecuted for preaching the gospel. And there was some of the Episcopalians that came to a group of those Baptist preachers, and they told them, they said, you are the wolves in sheep's clothing that the Bible talks about. And I just was amazed at the wit of our Baptist brethren, Brother John Waller and some of the others. They said, well, that's a funny thing to us.
that if we are the wolves, that we're the ones being persecuted, we're the ones being in prison, we're the ones being beaten. They told the Episcopalians, they said, you know, we've seen wolves feed up on sheep, but it's an imaginable thing of sheep preying upon wolves. That's a good answer, wouldn't it? If we're the wolves, why are we the ones being so persecuted? And I'll tell you what, today, it's easy enough to prove that we descended from those men. They're our ancestors. They are our Baptist forefathers. And they're still people today that want to tear down the Lord's church. You may think, I mean, we may feel a safety. You may think in this country that we live in, you may think in this world that we live in, you may think, well, this church here at Fairview Memorial, compared to many of the congregations today that call themselves churches, and the thousands that gather there to meet, you may think this fairly small crowd that meets here at Fairview Memorial from week to week is overlooked and that we are no threat to them in any way. But I want to tell you something, friends. People that will stand for the truth are still under attack today, and the devil is still looking to turn us away from the things that God has left us here to do. Beware, he said, of false prophets. In 2 Timothy, I want to share some scriptures with you that I made note of. In 2 Timothy 3 and 5, Paul warned Timothy of those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, said right after he had spoken about that the word of God did not come by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. After he spoke about the fact that the scripture was of divine inspiration, he went on and he said, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And listen to what he said, and many shall follow their promiscuous ways. Beware, friends, of false prophets. Many have followed them. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a lot of counterfeits. There's a lot of lookalikes. There's a lot of deceivers. And they are around our children and our grandchildren every day. Jesus once told the Pharisees, and this gives us an idea of how active and how busy that those that deceive, how hard they work. Jesus said, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte. Or one convert, but when you've made him, you've made him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Deception just gets worse and worse as it goes from generation to generation, doesn't it? It just worsens. It doesn't get any better. It just gets worse and worse. Twofold more the child of hell than yourself. The devil's a great liar. You ever met anybody in your life that could just lie? I mean, just look you in the face and lie? Some people do it but aren't very good at it. Some people lie, but it's easy to detect that they're lying. You ever know anybody that could lie convincingly? That person's dangerous. Somebody that can lie and convince somebody else that they're telling the truth, well, the devil is the master of all liars. He is the liar of liars. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The devil's the liar of all liars. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that he's a liar and the father of it. Brother Wheat mentioned this morning in the Sunday school lesson how that the devil lied there to Eve in the garden and got her to believe what he was saying. Convincing lies. And there's a lot of them in the world today. I want to tell you something today. I want to share a verse with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I wanted to tell you today, Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, every member that's here today, the older members, the younger members, those that are coming on, those that are growing in the Lord, you remember this. You remember on this day in April of 2008 that Brother Miller stood here by the help of God and told you this. Let it lodge in your mind. Keep it in your heart. I don't care how much you may like him. I don't care who he may be or how friendly you may think he is or how long that he's been preaching or anything like that. Don't you ever follow any preacher. Don't ever follow any pastor that does not follow the Lord. If he's not following the Lord, don't you follow him. I believe that's exactly what Paul was saying. You follow me as long as I am following the Lord. Been a lot of people led astray, hadn't there? We worry, I'm afraid, many times, and I've spoke today about things that are without, but the greatest danger to the church always comes from within. It always comes from within. And as I said, we have to be the spiritual watchman that the Lord would have us to be. You know, the devil, through the years, in his plan to disrupt the church of the living God, I think the greatest weapon he's ever had. He couldn't do it by physical persecution. He just couldn't stop them. I mean, he said, you know, the church was persecuted for years. I mean, physical persecution, and the devil had to just be laughing his head off when they were killing the saints of God left and right. No doubt he thought that he was winning, but you know, the problem was, is under persecution, the church was growing instead of decreasing. Every time they killed one of them, there were 10 more that popped up somewhere else. The church was growing under those, during those years of persecution. But I believe the most effective most effective way that the devil has ever succeeded in harming the Lord's church is by infiltration. By allowing things to come in that shouldn't be allowed. That's been his most effective tool, I believe, in harming the Lord's church. So, you know, these people that stand, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table today. I'm going to just tell you exactly what I believe about it. People that stand and the things they say that seem right, but then they deceive souls. You may have heard this said before, you know, well, they preach a good sermon, but then they mess it all up at the end. Well, I'll tell you exactly what I believe about it. I believe if somebody's not practicing the truth, they're not preaching it either. No matter what they're saying, no matter how they're making it sound, if you preach the truth, you've got to practice the truth. If you stand before people and preach that they must be born again, and then somebody comes to seek the Lord and you talk them up from the altar, or you try to tell them that they've been saved, as far as I'm concerned, you're rotten all the way through. I don't care how good of a speech you can make. You're a deceiver through and through if you do that to people. And so, but I want to share this scripture with you before I close. Paul said that, you know, we shouldn't marvel at it, because he said, the ministers, the devil's workers, his ministers, Paul said that they are transformed into ministers of light. Transformed into ministers of light. And he said, it's no marvel that they are. Don't be surprised. It's no marvel that they are, for he said that the devil himself is transformed into a minister of righteousness. You know what? When Satan approached Eve back there in the garden, he didn't want Eve to think he was evil, did he? He didn't want her to think that he was the evil one. He wanted her to think that God was. He wanted her to think that God had lied to her. And that's exactly what he does. He tries to tear down the things that the Lord has done. So you remember what Jesus said. He said, beware of the false prophets. He said, they're going to come. They're going to come in sheep's clothing. They're going to be counterfeits. They're going to be lookalikes. But inwardly, they are nothing more than wolves that are out to devour. They're ravening wolves looking to devour. So we need to be still today, as the people of God have always had to be. We need to be watchmen. We need to beware. We need to be on guard. And we need to maintain and protect what the Lord has given us. That's my message to you today. God gave it to me to give to you. And I hope that it has been helpful to you. I hope that we will always be found being what God would have us to be. You know, When something comes among us that raises red flags, when something comes among us that we have to stop and consider, is this right or not? You better be real careful with it. You better be real careful with how that you deal with it. And so I appreciate your attention today. And I'm thankful today to be a child of God, and thankful that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I want to preach the whole counsel of God. I don't want to back away from anything. Whatever the Lord gives me, I want to try to preach it, because it's profitable. I mean, it's all profitable to us. And I know today that I know that we may like to hear fluffy sermons. We may like to hear what we may call the Hallmark sermons. We may like to hear the sermons about heaven and stuff that make us feel good. And those are wonderful when they can come, aren't they? But we need to beware. We need to be reminded, and we need to be made aware of the things that are around us that threaten us, and we need to watch, because the Lord left us here to keep what's His, to maintain what's His. And I, Brother Weed, I appreciate what you said this morning in the Sunday school class, reminding us again, you know, we're not here to maintain anything that belongs to us, are we? We're not here to keep this church the way she ought to be because we're watching after our property. It's not about us. God left us here to take care of what belongs to Him. And we're going to answer to Him for how we do that. And so I appreciate your attention today. And